Saga Egmont presents The Daredevil Duke by Barbara Cartland. Read by Ingrid Oliver. Chapter 1. The Duke yawned. I should be leaving. A soft-scented body moved beside him. Oh no, darling, a seductive voice protested. You cannot leave me so soon. I cannot lose you. There appeared to be nothing in her voice that was unusual. Yet suddenly the Duke was aware of danger. It was by relying on his exceptional powers of intuition that he had survived to earn the reputation for being a daredevil. He had undertaken, when he was in the army, what seemed impossible assignments which no other officer would risk. When Darcy Horne had come into the title unexpectedly, he had to resign from his regiment. He left with a number of medals and honours which were the outward and visible sign of his dashing reputation. It was his intuition, what he thought of at times as a warning voice, which had kept him alive. It had preserved him to inherit the dukedom following the death in action of both of his cousins. Now, for no reason he could put his finger on, he knew that he must leave. He rose from the bed, despite two clinging arms, and Lady Julie said again, "Do not go. I beg you, darling, do not leave me. It is far too early." "I am tired, Julie," the Duke answered, "and as I have a long day tomorrow, I need my beauty sleep." He had his back to her as he spoke, and yet he was convinced she looked at the clock. "It is too early, darling," she said again. "And you know how precious the hours I spend with you are to me." The Duke started to put on his clothes. He dressed himself swiftly and with an expertise which always infuriated his valet. When he had finished arranging his cravat, he moved back towards the bed. As he did so, without its occupant being aware of it, he turned the key of the door in the lock and put it into his pocket. It was a swift movement, and done so neatly that Lady Julie had no idea it had happened. Instead, looking incredibly lovely with her long hair falling over her shoulders, she held out her arms. The Duke was well aware that if he kissed her, as she intended, she would pull him down on top of her. Then it would be difficult to escape. Instead, he kissed her hands, one after the other, and said, "Thank you, Julie. I have enjoyed this evening, and you are very beautiful." He crossed the room towards a curtain which concealed the wash-hand basin and Julie's elaborate brushes and bottles. These were the accessories with which she made herself one of the most striking and acclaimed beauties in the beau monde. "What are you doing, Darcy?" she cried as the Duke pulled back the curtain. The bedroom in the tall, narrow house on the corner of Charles Street and the mews behind the houses on that side of Berkeley Square had two windows. One looked out onto Charles Street and the other, which was hidden by the curtain, onto the mews behind the houses. The Duke was aware of this and did not answer. He thought, even as he moved back the curtain, that he heard the sound of wheels stopping outside the front of the house. "What are you doing?" Lady Julie asked again plaintively, as the Duke opened the window which overlooked the mews. Again, he made no reply. With the agility of an acrobat, he swung himself down from the windowsill and dropped onto the roof of the floor below. It was easy to scramble from there into the cobbled yard. Even as he did so, he heard someone rattling the door, which would not open. He walked swiftly down the mews. When he got to the far end of it, he threw the key that was in his pocket into some bushes. He then had only a few yards to go to reach his own house in Berkeley Square. When he did so, he told himself he had had a lucky escape. He had known that Lady Julie's husband, Timothy Barlow, was hard up, but he had not thought he would stoop to such an age-old trick as coming back unexpectedly to find his wife in another man's arms. There were only two options.